Ephesians chapter 5, please, in your Bibles, if you'll make your way there. The book of Ephesians, and in chapter 5. That's where we want to go in just a moment together this morning. Ephesians, the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And while you're finding that passage, I want to share with us another in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes. I just think this passage is so rich. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, do it with all of your strength. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working or planning. Whatever your hand finds to do, Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10, do it with all of your strength. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning. There's two things there in that passage that God wants me to understand. Number one, the time to seize opportunities is now. Because in the grave where you are going, in the grave there's neither working nor planning. When I'm gone, the opportunities that were afforded to me will be no longer available to me. And number two, when you take advantage of an opportunity and you seize that opportunity, always do the very best, always invest the very best that you have to invest. Do your best, invest your best. When you seize an opportunity, do it with all of your strength. Whatever your, make it personal, hand finds to do, do it with all of your strength. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now are you light in the world. You once walked this way, you once lived this way, you once thought this way, but now in the Lord you are light, so now live, walk as children. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and it finds out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now verse 11, and so have no fellowship. Do not participate. Do not involve yourself with works of darkness. They are unfruitful. But rather than being involved in these things, rather than participating in these things, rather than having fellowship with what is dark, sinful, unfruitful, you expose it. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, verse 13, Ephesians 5, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, and here's this point, verse 14, therefore he says, awake. Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then. All right, he says, awake. He says, arise. And so he says, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. So having said awaken and having said arise, now he says, be alert. In your living and in your thinking, those things with which you have fellowship and your participation, there it needs to be a sense of alertness. You need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And people who are alert in this walk are people who will redeem the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Good morning. Welcome to all who are here. We have visitors again this morning. We're delighted to have you. We're glad you're here. We invite you to come back again today at 5 o'clock. We'll have an opportunity in this place again today at 5 o'clock to sing together, to pray together. We'll spend that time the fourth Sunday of the month in the evening is when we devote that to singing and to praying. And we'll have some of the younger men have participation and read to us from 1 John chapter 3, so we'll think about that again. Look forward to that again today at 5 o'clock. The opportunity later today, after we leave this place, to go to another place. If you're not taking advantage of that opportunity, that's just a great opportunity when everybody is together in one place and we're sharing a meal, but we're sharing our lives, we're sharing ourselves with one another together. If you're not taking advantage of these times where we get together to get to know one another better, I encourage you later today to do that. The world is surrounded and saturated with the concept of time. If you watched football yesterday, you were thinking about half time. In our jobs, some of us look forward to overtime. Some of you enjoy the night time more than you do the day time. We're saturated with this concept of time. There are 24 hours of time in every day. There is, if my math is correct, and you guys that know math, 1,440 minutes every day. That's a lot of time. Does it shock you to know that time moves just as fast in a movie on Friday night as it does in a sermon on Sunday morning? Okay, that's just a little extra. It does. I love what one author says. He says, time is a resource. Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. Non-renewable, non-transferable. You can't hold it up. You can't hoard it up. You can't store it up or save it up for a rainy day, because when it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember, there is no resurrection. Now, the context of Ephesians chapter 5, it's in the context of Ephesians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul says, see then, Ephesians 5 verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. Maybe your translation says that you walk accurately. What he's saying is, be careful how you live. Be cautious and pay attention to those moments in your life. Pay attention with great detail and alertness to areas of your life that potentially affect the life to come. Why does he say do that? He says you redeem the time because the days are evil. And surely that would have to do with the moral degeneration. There I go. That the world is getting worse, that evil men will wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. The darkness that surrounds us will only increase. The days are evil, but it's not just limited to moral degradation. It's also dealing with the persecution that Christians will face, that others are facing. Life's not going to get easier. Life in Christ will only get harder. And the Holy Spirit of God was not telling those people in the days of the Apostle Paul that nugget of truth to discourage them. He was telling them that to enlighten them. He's being very honest. When he says arise, and when he says awake, he says be alert. Now that word time there is an interesting word. When he says redeeming the time, that is the Greek word to not refer to the time on your watch. In fact, it's the same Greek word that we noticed last Lord's Day from Galatians chapter 6, as you have opportunity. He says in due season, Galatians 6 and verse 9, you will reap. There's season, that's that word that he uses translated time in Ephesians 5. Opportunity, Galatians 6 and verse 10, same word that's translated by the English word time in a lot of translations in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. What he's talking about is he's talking about opportunities. And so the Holy Spirit of God is saying, make the most of your opportunities. Make the most of your opportunities because the days are evil. Seize the opportunity that you have. See the opportunity that you have. Don't forsake it. Don't neglect it. I want to make a few basic points this morning about living with a sense of urgency and seizing opportunities. I want to say in the beginning that this takes a tremendous amount of wisdom. And the reason I'm reminding us that seeing opportunities and seizing those opportunities requires wisdom. He says, walk in wisdom, Colossians chapter 4. He says, do not be, Ephesians 5, like the fools, but be as wise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. It takes wisdom at times to understand who and what cannot wait. It takes wisdom. We need to be praying. And whether or not you pray the prayer of Psalm 25, show me, Lord, teach me, Lord, lead me, Lord. Whether your prayer is show me, Lord, teach me, Lord, or lead me, Lord, it's the concept of, Lord, I want to walk in your path. I want to walk in your direction. I want to walk in your truth. Show me, teach me, lead me, Lord, who and what can't wait. I need wisdom. And James says, if any man lacks wisdom, James chapter 1 that we went to last Lord's Day morning, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And I may not understand how he does it, but I must believe that he does. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Many scriptures speak about the brevity of time, and the Ecclesiastes writer saying, in the grave where you are going, there's neither working or planning, so seize opportunities now. Think about the length of our days. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and will fly away. And that text there in Psalm 90, verse 10, it's not given to us by God to assure us of even 70 years. We miss the point if we assume that we have even 70 years. In fact, James will say to us that such boasting, James chapter 4, is vain. But even the 70 or 80 years, if by reason of strength, even say you have 80 years, that's still a very limited time or season to seize opportunities. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, again, James 4 and verse 14, that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Did you get the concept? Time passes quickly, appears for a little time. Life does not come with a warranty. Your car may. Your house may. And I remind us that those things are only temporary. Those things are earthly. Those things do not have eternal value. They do come with warranties. They don't last. Life does not come with a warranty. So Paul says, because the days are evil and you want to walk in wisdom, as children of light, see and seize and recognize who and what can't wait. Well, who and what can't wait? The Bible tells us some things. The Lord's work. And so whatever your hand finds to do, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, whatever your hand finds to do, be steadfast and immovable in doing that. Be steadfast, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. But go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I want us to see something in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, let's begin in verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. For after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight. For you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. You do not know. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches, verse 4, Ecclesiastes 11, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. And you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb. So you cannot understand. You cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. So sow your seed, verse 6, in the morning. Sow your seed in the morning. And at evening, let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. There's a lot in those verses. Did you notice how many times a language or similar language you do not know comes up in these six verses? You do not know. Don't view life with a degree of certainty. You do not know. But just because you do not know about the reason or the season of your life, how many years you have and what the future may hold, not only do you not know that, but you do not know the work of God. Oh, you may think you know how God's going to do what He's going to do and when God's going to do what He wants to do, but you don't even know that. You know God, but you don't understand how God will and when He will. Be careful of wanting to know what you cannot know. It'll paralyze you. You'll miss an opportunity. I wondered if I would ever say this from this pulpit. Now I got your attention, didn't I? Be careful of being overcautious. Now, if I've lost you, I need you coming back into this. That's what he's saying in Ecclesiastes. That's what the Lord is saying in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Be careful of being overly cautious. Do we need to be cautious? Didn't the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 tell us to be cautious? Sure he did. But balance. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 tells me, be careful, Paul, of being overly cautious, trying to foresee the future and plan for every contingency. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Lord's talking about here. Because when you do that, you miss opportunities. And you end up ignoring. You didn't want to. I didn't want to. You end up ignoring potential good. So if you're that guy, if you're that person that's waiting for ideal conditions before you just sow your seed or do something that's good and seize an opportunity, God's telling us don't do that. Those ideal conditions may never come. Someone once said, and I believe that there's wisdom in this, a lot of disappointed people have been left standing on the street corner waiting for the bus marked perfection. It isn't coming, folks. And when I talk about what can't wait in the Lord's work? If you weren't here last Lord's Day and you missed the message of James chapter 1, not because I'm preaching it, but because I believe that's what the Lord wants me to understand from the context of James chapter 1, go back and listen to that. But what we talked about last Lord's Day, the fatherless and the widows, that is important, but there's more in the kingdom. There's more work to do. The cup of cold water, the small thing that you might do, Just do what you can do and do it with all of your strength and don't wait for the bus marked perfection. The Lord's work must not. It cannot wait. Our homes, our families cannot wait. We need to be reaching out. We need to be seizing the opportunities that are in our homes. There's a reason the shepherds do planning and praying. And we talk about things that we talk about at certain seasons of life. It's always appropriate to encourage married people to invest in their marriage today. Life is too short to spend your days arguing and fussing and fighting about what in the grand scheme of things won't matter in eternity. You're going to have snags. You're going to have hiccups. Every marriage does. It's made up of two imperfect people living in an imperfect world. You're not the only one to go through ups and downs and a valley and season of life in your marriage where you're frustrated and you're discouraged. Work through those. Don't ignore them. Don't push the problem under the rug. It only makes and creates other problems. Pray about that. Take advantage as a leader in your home of opportunities to mend a broken bridge, to repair things in your life. Cherish who you have. Cherish what you have. Invest in the lives of your children today. And so Deuteronomy chapter 6, teach them diligently today. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, take advantage of opportunities in your home. Treasure the time. Spend it wisely. So that when your children leave home, they will have spiritual stability. And we don't say this. We don't remind parents of this to discourage those who you cannot go back and buy back the time. You can't go back and redeem a season of opportunity that you had 15 or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Thankful for grace and for forgiveness, you have to move on. That's hard to do at times. It is. But we say that to those who are bringing children into the world, number one or number two or number three, and the oldest child they have is under the age of 7 or 8, and they have seasons of opportunity. And the Lord says, your children cannot wait. They cannot wait. Who and what can't wait? You can't wait. Your spiritual growth and development. It cannot wait. You have to seize this opportunity for your spiritual development and your growth. How are you going to develop? How am I going to develop my faith? Again, James chapter 1 and verse 25. It's the man who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look intently into that perfect law of liberty and does. James says, this is the man who will be blessed in his work. The man who's going to be blessed in what he does is the man who seizes opportunities to educate himself, to enlighten himself, to encourage himself by the Scriptures. Did you notice the language, look intently? That word there in the Greek, it carries with it the idea of not a casual glance. Not a, you know, I'll open the Bible and, you know, a passage a day keeps the devil away. Or I'm going to open the Bible and I'll kind of go through it like I do the newspaper. You know, glance and then put it down and not go back and revisit it. That won't work. It's the kind of looking, it's the kind of intent awareness that you have in your search that I had after I'd been married to Amy for not a very long time, and I went and played golf, and I got through playing golf, and I was headed to my car, and I noticed that I didn't have my wedding ring on. And I never take my wedding ring off. And the first thought that came to my mind is, I have lost my wedding ring. How do I go home and tell my wife I have lost my wedding ring? I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't walk back to the golf cart and say, don't see it over there. I'll call the clubhouse tomorrow. I don't even need to ask them. I didn't do that. And I went through every square inch. I got back in the cart and I drove around the course and I'm looking, how do you find a wedding ring on 18 holes in a golf course? But you try. You look. Intently. And you do it because you are very aware of the value of what you're searching for. What you're looking for. What you're after. I'm asking us this morning. I'm asking myself. Do I look intently into the Word? How much time, how much energy, how much effort am I investing into growing myself, into educating myself? An hour or two a week just inside of these four walls? Is that your game plan? Is that your spiritual development plan? Is an hour or two a week when you come into this place? Is that it? It won't work. Your spiritual growth and development can't wait. And finally, number four, what can't wait? Souls can't wait. Your soul, anyone's soul. Paul preached to Felix and Drusilla in Acts chapter 24 of righteousness and of self-control and of the judgment to come. The response that he got was, go away for now. When I have a more convenient season opportunity, I'll call for you. I don't know if Paul ever got that opportunity again. I don't know if Felix and Drusilla ever said, you know what, come back, let's think about this again. Let's think about our souls, and let's think about the judgment to come, and let's think about righteous living, and let's think about a holy God, and let's think about the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse and to save us. I don't know if they ever called the Apostle Paul back. But I know on that occasion, what they said was, not today. They were presumptuous with regards to another opportunity. How are things between you and your God today? How are things between me and my God today? There's people that cannot wait. There's a circle of influence that I have. If I've never tried to reach out to people and to share the gospel with people, or to invite people to study the Bible, or invite people to come into occasions and assemblies like this, do not neglect those seasons of opportunity to speak for God and to share the gospel with other souls. Cannot wait. You cannot wait. God doesn't want you to wait. Are we a people? Am I a person that's living in a sense of urgency? Redeeming the time. Are you waiting until later to obey the gospel? Why are you waiting? Are you waiting for another opportunity to be more faithful and active in serving the Lord? Why are you waiting? Are you waiting until a later time to talk to a lost person, to give up that bad habit that you know is causing you today to live with an uneasy conscience? Are you waiting for another opportunity to shore up your marriage, to work on you as you work on your marriage, to spend more time in training yourself, to spend more time in training your children, to develop better Bible study habits, to work on better praying habits, to set aside time to visit those who are in distressful and troubling times of their life, especially those who are lonely and widows who have very few, if anyone, come by to see them? Do you make an effort to restore a fallen brother or sister? And that list is long. And that list can be overwhelming. And that list was made up by a preacher. But don't be that guy. The one talent guy in Matthew 25, don't be that guy who did nothing. Do something for your good and for the good of others today. Let us pray. God, thank you for the blessing of life and today. Thank you for the power of your word, for your Holy Spirit that enlightens us, that encourages us, that warns us, that teaches us. But most of all, Father, for the provision of your Son, the Christ, for his work in redemption, for the powerful gospel that shows us how to come into a right relationship with you through Jesus Christ, to have our sins forgiven. And we pray, Father, in faith for ourselves and for others, that people will come into the kingdom and that people will grow in the kingdom as they grow up into Christ. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. He was going to be all that a mortal could be. Tomorrow. No one would be better than he. Tomorrow. The greatest of workers, this man would be tomorrow. But the fact is he died and faded from view. And all that was left when the living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. That's one of those poems that your parents give to you when you leave home that you don't really pay attention to when you're 18. And living life long enough, you start thinking about, could that be me? I don't want that to be me. And I don't want that to be you. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, Jesus can save you. He wants to save you. His blood can cleanse you from any and all of your sins. Will you confess your faith in him? Will you respond to the call of the gospel in obedience and in faith by coming to Christ to be immersed in water, baptized, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have your sins forgiven? Are you here this morning as a child of God? You've fallen from grace. You haven't been seizing opportunities. Maybe as we sing this song in your heart, if you've not already done that, you say, Lord, forgive me. I want to do better. And with your help, I can. Or maybe you need help from this body, from this church, from this family. We can hold up your hands and we can pray with you and for you. Whatever we can do to encourage and assist you in the Lord spiritually, we want to do that while together we stand and while we sing.